This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan on this day where we celebrate the Mets clinching a spot in the National League Championship Series. We'll do plenty on the Mets, of course, but the Yankees also played a playoff game last night. And while I was sitting back, BT, my feet up, enjoying the Mets in the NLCS, watching Yankee fans sweat the Royals. Goodness gracious, it should not be this difficult to beat the Kansas City Royals. Nonetheless, the Yankees, though, get a win last night in Game 3.
Yeah, I wasn't sweating, but I wasn't happy. The Yankees, once again, are not doing anything, really. And they're playing with fire, and eventually they're going to get clipped if this doesn't pick up. It's like every other Yankee playoff game for a long time. Now, that doesn't mean you don't appreciate the win. You do, and I can't stand it when I see on, not that I really care that much about social media, but when I put it out there last night, like, yeah, Yankees got to play a lot better, whatever I said, take the win, but it's like a game on rewind for last decade and a half. Like, it's amazing how many Yankee fans are still missing the mark. Like, I think that you can balance out being happy and thankful and now being in a position, hopefully with Gerrit Cole tonight, to slam the door and move on to the American League Championship Series, while also understanding that the Yankees don't look good. The Yankees had 9 walks, nine. They walked 9 times and they scored 3 runs. That is hard to do. If you actually, and then you mix in the 4 hits that they scrounged up, basically Stanton, who was awesome. I'll get back to him in a minute. But when you have 9 walks and you barely score runs, it's really an indictment on your situational hitting. They tried to get the bunt down, which I appreciate. Verdugo messed up the first one, then he did get it down. You know, you did have the play at the plate with Soto, which we barely saw based on the horrendous camera angles. I'll get to their coverage later. I'm not going to get into it now, but it's awful. Costa stinks, and they're doing a horrible job. I feel bad for Ron Darling. Darling sounds like he's dying in the booth, but here's what I do like about the Yankees' recipe for success. Remember before it started, I said, everybody's worried about this bullpen. I'm not. And the game one recipe was Clay Holmes came in the middle frames, yeah. non-high leverage, and did very well. Tommy Kahnle, who throws seemingly changeup after changeup after changeup, and then Luke Weaver last night, almost 5 innings again. They did the same thing in game one. Now, I remember you saying, you know, hey, it's good that Clay Holmes did that in game one. Will he do it again? He did.
Yep.
He looks really good. The thing that, just as a quick aside, I even said this to my son last night. Like, I always tell the kids that I coach, hey, you probably don't, 9, 10 years old, you don't want to throw back-to-back changeups, because basically it just becomes a weak fastball, if you think about it. I don't understand. I watched Tommy Kahnle last night throw 7 or 8 changeups in a row. If you're a hitter, how is that just not an ass batting practice fastball? I mean, I don't even need an answer. I'm just kind of like asking out loud. It's odd how you can throw the same pitch, changeup, and nobody have a clue how to hit it. Now, the Yankees, to me, are still in a great position to get to the World Series. They're going to win this series. I don't know if it's going to be tonight. I said the Yankees probably win it in 5. I feel better about them winning tonight, though, because they got past Lugo, and I thought their at-bats were good even without the hits. But, Sal, could eventually somebody run into a 2-run double or a 3-run bomb? What in the world's going on?
They're not good. I'm sorry. They're just not a good team. Now, they're going to get to the World Series because nobody else is any good in the American League either, but you're relying on John Carlos Stanton. You know what I love about yesterday? Now everybody's puffing their chest out about John Carlos Stanton. Why? Because he hit a home run off of a pus-throwing lefty. Like, Stanton should hit a home run in that spot. Watching that in real time, saying, okay, well, this is a spot where he's got to go deep. The stolen base, yeah, okay, but Stanton can't run. Like, let's make a big deal with the stolen base. How about this? Don't steal a base, but when you're on base and somebody gets a hit, can you go first to third, or can you score from second? Is that too much to ask? Like, let's not make it like we're all... Stanton shouldn't have started that game last night because he's not a good baseball player. And the Yankees got lucky yet again because this is what they do. They got him in the right spot. The Royals have a soft, tossing bum of a lefty out of the bullpen throwing breaking pitches that are on a tee. If John Carlos Stanton can't mash that, he shouldn't be in the big leagues. And he did. And you give him credit because he produced in the postseason, and it's not the first time. But it shouldn't have taken that for the Yankees to barely beat the Royals. The Yankees' strength right now, their bullpen is legit. Like, their bullpen is a World Series-worthy bullpen. You mentioned it. Weaver is a lights-out closer right now. If you're going to get that from Clay Holmes, who was an all-star and has been a good closer in this league, if you're going to get that out of him. Canely's good. Out of the sixth and seventh inning, then you're going to be good to go. So their bullpen is the best part of this team right now, but the offense is pathetic. I'm sorry. And I don't think that it was wrong. I still think the right move would have been to sit Stanton. What, Dominguez couldn't have done what Stanton did yesterday?
That's why I said to Susan. We had Susan on, of course, every Wednesday here with BT and Sal. If you missed it, free Odyssey app. Go check it out. She has been fantastic. You can talk about axe throwing. We're just having fun. She's texting us during the game. And she's like, you okay with Stanton playing now after he hit the bomb? And I'm like, I was just thinking of you. So we're having a little fun with that. So she's really playing ball with this. She's been great to us, and she's doing great with John. But I don't feel bad about what I – not bad, but I don't feel like I missed the mark yesterday because Giancarlo Stanton's been a complete zero before last night. And if nobody else is hitting, you need to find a way to manufacture runs and, you know, try to put some stress on the opposing defense. Now, the irony here, and I even said this to Colt last night watching the game, when he was on first base in the 2-2 game, I said, I got to tell you, I pinch run for him.
Right.
I mean, I wouldn't have even started him because I would like to have Dominguez in there for four at-bats and his speed on the bases and potentially running into one. Not in left field. That's Verdugo. I'm not messing with Dominguez defensively right now. He was bad the few games he played there. But I would get him some at-bats. I said that. And, you know, listen, I'm happy that Giancarlo Stanton ran into a 440-foot missile. He's still capable. It's the only thing he's capable of doing at this point. But the you know, the crazy thing is, the guy that really few people wanted to play last night is the only guy who did anything.
Right.
And it speaks to just how empty their lineup remains.
And the biggest thing remains, when is Judge going to get going?
I don't know. I don't know, Sal.
He's hitting 091.
It's getting bad.
This guy's the best player we've ever seen in a regular season and in the postseason. Now, again, it's only three games. And I'm not, even if you take out whatever happened in years prior with Aaron Judge in the postseason, he still continues to come up with guys on. He just can't get the job done. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
Maybe he kicks in a gear in the next round. You know, as long as the Yankees win this series, which it's to me, it should have been over. And even if, like, they've won two out of three, but they haven't played well in any of the three games so far.
No, they got lucky in game one with the call that it was lucky. Maybe is a bit fortunate, certainly, with the Jazz Chisholm play at second base. He was out. You and I talked about that the next day. And then last night, you know, somebody that we thought should not even start was the only player who delivered the big hit. So, yeah, I mean, you're fortunate, a little lucky, you know, certainly good in some spots with the bullpen. I think they made some good defensive plays. Volpe up the middle. Of course, Costas thought it was a base hit to the outfield, something else he missed. But they're doing just enough to probably clip a team that is dramatically overachieved. They were a 56-58 win team last year, the Kansas City Royals, with zero postseason pedigree. And now you knocked out their ace, who was not incredibly on last night.
They're not any good. Whit Jr. can't sniff one. I mean, oh, wow, he got a base hit. Yeah, MVP, my ass. Can you do it in the postseason? He can't do it. The only guy they have is Sal Perez, who's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he scares me still every time. Well, he swings from his heels. He's a big boy, and he's been there.
BT and Sal on the phone. Let's get back to the phones here. 888-808-1019. The Mets with their big win last night, and Steve in Pennsylvania wants to talk about it. What's up, Steve?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
How are you, Steve?
BT, I'm doing good. BT, I'm a little disappointed. You're doing a heel turn worse than Hogan about Lindor should not be a switch hitter and should only bat from the right side.
Mm-hmm.
What do you feel about him now, BT?
I mean, did you listen to the start of the show? I mean, have you listened to the past couple of weeks? I mean, I've been giving praise. He's earned it. Listen, I tried to tell you guys that him abandoning the left side of the box was idiotic. Nobody wanted to listen to me. Sal said he should stop hitting lefty. Hoff is telling me. Evan's doing Rico's about how all the splits and all the analytics and the data tell me Lindor shouldn't hit lefty. I said you guys were nuts. Nobody listened.
Is that all you have, Steve? Because, I mean, if you missed anything, let's check it out on the free Odyssey app, and thank you for the call. BT is acknowledging this show, he's acknowledged it, let alone the weeks prior and days prior. So that's old news talking about it. What do you have to say now? Well, I've said it all before. I mean, come on, about Lindor. How can anybody say anything negative at this point about Francisco Lindor? And by the way, nobody created anything negative about Lindor. Lindor's start to the seasons, his start to his Mets career wasn't good. By all accounts, the starts to each season have been disappointing, so much so that he didn't make the All-Star team. Now, you did go at him a little harder than most, BT, but that's why you had to take the L on this one. But you've done that multiple times over. Roman is calling from Pennsylvania. What's up, Roman?
Hey, BT. Hey, Sal.
What's up?
Every year my dad calls me, and last Wednesday I got that call. apologizing for making me a Mets fan for years. This year, a little different. He called me last night, crying his eyes out. Me crying my eyes out. Let's go Mets. And Mendy, start playing some small ball. We need to manufacture runs early on. Let's go.
No, I don't like that. Thank you for the call, Roman. I'm not going to say the Mets should be playing small ball. There was even a spot last night where people were thinking, oh, should you bunt here? No. No, you're not bunting. You got to be aggressive. That's what they've done. Certain situations, sure, you may call for a sacrifice bunt, but I think it was with Nimmo last night. And they were talking about, last night or the night before? I get them all mixed up now. Yeah, it had to be last night.
It was yesterday.
The game before I was at. So I didn't see. Yeah, last night they were talking about bunting Nimmo. No way would you consider. You swing away there. You're doing damage. That's what this team has done. So I'm not looking to play small ball here. And look, you have to trust Mendy. Now, I didn't trust the decision with Diaz last night, but he got the job done. I wouldn't have done that. Tony is in Copag. What's up, Tony?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, Tom?
So, I'm not going to lie. I'm sitting there watching the game yesterday, and Diaz comes in, and immediately, you know, I get this feeling over my body, and it's not good. And I'm sitting here thinking, you know, why are they not going to Stanek here? I mean, you could have left Peterson in, right? You could have gone to Stanek, who's been good as of late.
No. If you go, let me stop you there for a second, Tony, and I'll let you finish. You're not going to anybody other than Diaz, but the move is to keep Peterson in. Like, forget Stanek. If you're going to make a change, it's Diaz, but there was no need to take Peterson out of that game.
Right. I mean, he was dealing. He was mowing down.
Correct.
And then I thought to myself, though, you know, Mendy's made some, I thought, questionable decisions this whole series that have wound up going his way. You got to have some trust in the guy, right? I mean, he knows that, you know, you get to the next round, ultimately you're going to need Diaz, right? You're going to need that closer because when Diaz is Diaz, he's a weapon. Let's be real. So, I mean, he walks the first two, and I'm saying to myself, you got to buckle down here. You got to buckle down. What does he do? He throws his fastest pitch of the year, 101, in a perfect right. I think that was the biggest strikeout of the year for Diaz, and the confidence that this gives him going forward for this next series. I think Diaz is back, guys.
Well, I mean, that remains to be seen. He certainly has the stuff, so if he was to go on a 2 or 3 week binge where he's lights out, I don't know that we'd be stunned here. Confidence seems to be erratic. He's on, he's off. Listen, though, with Mendoza, he's no dummy. He knows he's his best option still. At this point, and he's doing the juggle sound. Now, granted, he had a little room to whiff. It's 3-2. It's different. He had a little room, but he's saying to himself, all right, you know what? I'm managing this game, but I'm also managing maybe the next series. You're doing that juggle that he would never talk about, but as a manager, you don't want to touch the money publicly, but things that you compartmentalize as a manager or as a coach, because you've got to find a way to reignite a player's confidence, if you can't, especially somebody that you rely on. And if you can't do that, then, like, if Diaz is shot mentally, the Mets will not win the World Series. If he's on, they've got a chance, and their manager knows that.
Right, but that was not the spot to me to be messing around trying to get.
When is the spot?
Think about it. If you need to bring a pitcher into a game because you're worried about rebuilding his confidence, that is not the spot. A potential game clincher, a 3-run lead against a dangerous Phillies lineup that this guy has already gotten beat by, that's not a spot you bring him in. You want to tell me game one of the next round? By the way, worry about it next year. Like, you had Peterson rolling. Or if they didn't have a choice, then you say, okay, well, let's go with Diaz and hope for the best here because we need him. Peterson's rolling. Get through the game. Worry about Diaz and his fragile psyche after the fact.
How many pitches was Peterson at again? I don't have it in front of me.
Hold on. I had it here.
Mid-20s?
I thought 20-something.
Okay, yeah. 26, 27?
Now you want to tell me that
you're also juggling for game five. I mean, if you have Peterson, not that he couldn't go.
And he wasn't coming in game five. They said that yesterday.
Okay. He's not coming into game five if he throws 45 to 55 pitches.
23 pitches.
All right. So if he throws 23, you can't get somebody out in game five? I think you can. So you're not only juggling the confidence with Diaz, you're juggling Peterson once he teeters past the point of no coming back for game five. And a lot of things at play. Now, listen, I know that there's nothing more frustrating, I said this a lot, than a postseason blown save. It's the worst way to lose a game. But if it's 2-1, I think it's different. If it's 4-3, it's a little different. You had wiggle room, you didn't get burned, and now you just keep an eye on this. But it's, well, who's the other horse, man? I mean, what's
they
the other
don't have it.
Okay, there you go.
Peterson's the guy.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm just getting through the game yesterday and worry about that next round. Freddie is in Springfield, New Jersey. What's up, Freddie?
How you doing, guys?
Hey, Fred. What's happening, man?
Yeah, I want to respond to a statement that Sal made about the Yankees not being a good team.
Mm-hmm.
I would agree that the Yankees have a lot of holes, but you would also agree with me that not always the best lineup wins the World Series. Otherwise, the Dodgers would win every year the past few years.
And they wouldn't have won. And they, by the way, they wouldn't have won in 88 when they beat the Mets, and the Mets were twice as good. So, yeah, I agree with that. Keep going.
Okay. My point is that there's so much parity now in baseball, in my opinion,
yep.
is that, you know, it's up for grabs. You can't say the Yankees aren't good. The Yankees are good. Do they have a lot of holes? Yeah.
No. What I said was they aren't good, but they were going to be in the World Series because nobody else is good either. So I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying, but I just watched the Yankees play all year long, and the majority of the time I feel like they're not a good team.
Well, listen, I would agree with you in the way that this year and the last couple years, there are no dominant teams.
Right. And that to me is more of a statement. Thank you for the call, Freddie. That's more of a statement of where the game is at. But if you watch, like for me, and we had this argument, BT, last week, I think it was, the National League is far superior, whether it's Philadelphia, who's now going home, whether it's the Dodgers, the Padres, one of which will be going home tomorrow, whether it's the Mets. I think all those teams are better than any team that was left in the American League, or even to begin with in the American League postseason.
Well, listen, to me, the National League has, yeah, we did touch a little bit here. I think the National League's more powerful, but at the end of the day, it doesn't mean anything because baseball is a cyclical sport, and it's just you could go cold and whatever. Listen, the thing about the Yankees to me, they're obvious. I would just, of course, they're good. I mean, now stretching the boundaries of good and levels of confidence, whatever, that's subjective. I think what makes, including me, question what the Yankees could do is because the things that they're good at, we kind of gloss over. Like, you don't start a conversation with somebody's bullpen.
No, but that's especially in the postseason.
For sure. But the things that they're deficient in are the things that kill you in the postseason, like clutch hitting, situational hitting. And by the way, we've seen this movie for 15 years. So I think in a lot of ways, just to kind of bring the Yanks and Mets in, now the Mets have earned all the platitudes, mm-hmm. but I think when we talk about the Yankees, not just this year, but all the years, a postseason analysis is because they're the Yankees and there's that template from, you know, forever about who they're supposed to be in the aura. I think there's the tendency we kind of gloss over the good and we hammer the bad. Is that fair to the Yankees? It's not. But if you don't win, and they haven't won since 2009, and you repeatedly lose the same way, illuminating the things that kill you is not a bad way to have a conversation. It's very pertinent.
Right.
I'm seeing signs again in this series.
Right. I think the bullpen is very encouraging. That would be their identity, which is great. Let's see if Garrett Cole could go out there and be an
ace
tonight.
That'd be nice. That's a good point. Let's go.
Yeah.
Come on.
I mean, he's supposed to go out there and dominate. That would be another thing of encouragement, and maybe Judge gets going a little bit. So there's certainly possibility, but so far I've seen three Yankee playoff games against a team that they are far better than, and yet I've seen the Yankees in all three games not play one really well-played game from start to finish. There were more concerns. I said this after game one. I was on over the weekend. I said after game one Saturday night, discouraging. Then they lost game two, and then even in game three last night, again, it took Giancarlo Stanton to bail them out. One guy. I mean, yes, the bullpen, yes, but offensively, one guy.
Pardon me, Sal. I don't think this is a very good parallel, but just to stretch this and bring to football, think about this. Like, if the Jets or Giants had five trips inside the five-yard line against whomever, well, against the Bills coming up, I'm forgetting who Giants are playing. Who the heck is the
Bengals,
Giants?
Bengals,
that's right, Cincinnati, Sunday night. So, like, the Giants are playing Cincy, Jets are playing the Bills five times. They each have the ball inside the five, and they scored no touchdowns. Like, to me, that's like the football equivalent of the Yankees getting nine walks and eight walks and having three runs. Right. It's hard to do. So, yeah, you're happy with the win. That's a great point. Garrett Cole, step up. You know, we talk about Aaron Judge wanting to be an all-time Yankee and being a regular season all-time Yankee in his plight. Garrett Cole got bamboozled a couple of years ago against the Red Sox. Now, he's been much more good than bad, but he's not been great this year. He's been hurt this year. He was awesome last year, and his first postseason start so far, not good. They rocked him. Even the outs were loud and on the screws. So, Garrett's got a deal. Pressure on Garrett Cole. It's not just Judge. It's Garrett Cole as well. All right, 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan.